Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. I want to welcome you again to the program. If it's your first time here, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, analyze, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about anyone else. Now, I stutter over that just because, you know, we haven't changed anything on the show, but you know, our black-on-black crime categories today, by the way, on this program, is actress Garcelle Bouvier versus, you know, superstar Beyoncé. It seemed like she's on here. Everyone's committing a crime on Beyoncé. So we have another one that came up through the archives. And where's my publicist? We added this segment on before. Tony Braxton said something that I think she probably needs a publicist for, and Spike Lee on gentrification of his old neighborhood. We also have an Arsenio Hall clip with Delray Davis, but in light of 12 Years a Slave winning the Best Picture Oscar, maybe we may go back and play Steve McQueen on Arsenio Hall just to, you know, get you out there to see the movie. It already won the Oscar, so it is the Oscar film, 12 Years a Slave. And since, you know, we have the short month of for Black History Month, Steve McQueen is now the first black director to ever receive the Oscar. So congratulations to him. And since we're still, you know, this is added on that we're going to do more black history, but since it's black history and we missed that, we're also going to add a segment of black history, and we have entertainment news, that and much more. So I want to welcome you on to the show. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189 if you want to call in. If you're calling in to listen, that's cool too. But, you know, there's a lot of news and information that we'd like to start the show off with, so it'll give you time to get settled and join in on the show. But first, you know, let's talk about last week's show. We had a lot rebroadcast of the Terrence Howard versus media mogul Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, and singer and actress Keke Palmer and her social media, I guess her going back and forth on social media. So we had that and more. In our last live show, it was Rosie Perez versus Jennifer Lopez, Nicki Minaj versus Al Hodge, Malik Al-Shabazz, that's Malcolm for you guys who don't know, NFL player Warren Sapp versus Michael Strahan, and our Uncle Ruckus Watch had Sam Jackson on race movies. So you can check that out in the archives. Just go to Soul of Syracuse, that's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com, or you can just go to SolaSyracuse.com/BOBC if you want to just check out black on black crime stuff. So either way, check us out on Esprit Radio. Again, I want to welcome you again onto the program. Remember, black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. All right, so you know how we like to start the show. So we're going to start the show with entertainment news. This is going to be just some news and entertainment that happened to get you up to speed. So the United Nations, oh, well, I think I started off by saying 12 Years a Slave, Best Picture, director Steve McQueen film 12 Years a Slave from Solomon Northrup. If you don't know, 12 years, he was sold into slavery, and he was free, sold in slavery. 12 years that he stayed there, and when he escaped, he wrote a book within 6 months of escaping slavery. It became a bestseller, and they recently made the movie, and it now, as of yesterday, won the Academy Award. Now, earlier in the week, the United Nations held its annual Day of Remembrance for the victories for the victims of slavery, and among those events was a screening of 12 Years a Slave with director Steve McQueen, who was present and did questions and answers after. So if you want to look that up, you can check it out on YouTube if you want to, but go check that out. It was interesting. We also, like I said, we may play, during one of our breaks, the interview on Arsenio with Steve McQueen in honor of his victory. Now, First Lady Michelle Obama is set to make a special appearance on the season finale of the NBC comedy Parks and Recreation, which is set for Thursday, April 24th at from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, the First Lady scene in the episode is titled Moving Up. It was filmed in late February in Miami, where she celebrated investments in a healthier out-of-school Lux program as part of her Let's Move initiative dedicated to solving the challenge of childhood obesity. So Let's Move, if you don't know, is a comprehensive initiative launched by the First Lady dedicated to solving the challenge of childhood obesity within a generation so that children born today will grow up healthier and can live up to their potential. So if you want more information, it can be found at letsmove.gov if you want to check that out. So that is the First Lady's initiative. But check it out on Parks and Recreation, April 24th. Now, the overall Nielsen ratings report for 2013 recently came out, and not surprising, Fox News was once again the number one cable news channel, easily beating out CNN and MSNBC. But according to Nielsen, some 1.1% of Fox News watchers are African American, compared to 25% for MSNBC and 14% for CNN, and about 12% for the three commercial broadcast networks. Now, that's ABC, NBC, and CBS, the evening news, that's their evening news programs. Now, New York Times columnist David Brooks once said, more people own ferrets than watch Fox News. The channel averaged about 1 million daily viewers. That's according to Nielsen. But some more than 8 million daily viewers watch CBS Evening News, and that's the lowest viewership compared to the other network broadcast in a day. So one day of CBS Evening News, which is the lowest-rated evening news program, 8 million a day, they take up a week's worth of Fox News with their 1 million viewers a day. So get it sort of perspective. A lot of people don't watch Fox. They're the number one cable news program, but not even close to an actual news program. All right. Venus Williams, since we missed this story last week, Venus Williams won her 45th career WTA title at the Dubai Championships in an impressive 6-3, 6-0 victory at the Elise Cornin of France in the final last week. Now, the 44th ranked Williams played courtesy of a wild card, and she also won the title, by the way, in 2009-2010. She won her last 15 matches in Dubai. So Williams will move up to 29, or did move up to 29 in the updated rankings. But she last won the title in 2012 in Luxembourg tournament. Now, the former number one, Williams, won all five of her matches last week in straight sets. So she was on a roll, and I guess, I don't want to say Venus is back, but Venus is a good player. And every time they sleep on Venus, she turns up and wins one. got to give it up to Venus Williams. I just wanted to share that. Now, VH1 has teamed up with filmmakers Billy Corbin and Alfred Spellman, and author, advertising executive, and record executive Steve Stout for a four-part documentary series based on Stout's best-selling book, Tanning of America, How Hip-Hop Created a Culture That Rewrote the Rules of the New Economy. Now, the title, Tanning of America, One Nation Under Hip-Hop, the four-parter gives audiences a thorough examination of the hip-hop as a culture movement whose profound influences on music, film, television, fashion, business, race, relations, and politics eventually paved the way for the election of President Barack Obama. Now, if you missed it or you don't have cable, VH1 has made all four parts of the docuseries available online. Now, I watched it in a marathon this past weekend, and I have to say that is a really good program. We should have a conversation about that because it was such a great program that I think people miss the impact on hip-hop in America and hip-hop on culture generally. So hip-hop is essentially running the world. But you'll see what I'm talking about if you check that out. So just go to VH1. I'm sure they'll replay it at some point. But it's called The Tanning of America, One Nation Under Hip-Hop. Now, it's a four-part docuseries. If you get a chance to check it out, check it out. All right. Now, the Batman series, Gotham, has added Jada Pinkett Smith to the cast of that action drama. Now, the memorable Matrix actress, because I'm a Matrix fan, kind of, will also co-star with Ben McKenzie, known for Southland, and Donnell Logue, who's known for Accepted. And this upcoming Fox series is a spinoff of the Batman series, which, you know, is a one-hour drama from Warner Brothers Television. It's set to be in the Batman universe where Commissioner Gordon will be a rookie detective in Gotham City. So check that out if you get a chance. It's coming out soon. I don't have the date in front of me, but, you know, I'll make sure I repeat that at some point. Now, director F. Gary Gray announced an open casting call for the NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton, I think is what it's called. So I did put that out there so you can, you know, go internet search it, but they did announce an open casting call for, I think it's the end of March, but I'm not really sure. But they're looking for all the parts. Now, although Ice Cube probably wants his son, he said he wants them to try for it. Ice Cube is one of the producers. And Easy's son may be a little too old for Easy's part now, but he years ago said that he wanted to play his father in the biopic that they, you know, had. You know, they want to do from before, so since Easy's son is probably a little too old to play him in the biopic, and Ice Cube's son is probably the right age to play him in the biopic, but we'll see how that goes. Director F. Gary Gray is from Friday, so if you don't know who F. Gary Gray is, he was the director of Friday. Ice Cube is producing with, I think Dr. Dre is as well, and Easy's wife. So, you know, this is going to be an authentic NWA biopic, but they have a casting call end of the month. Go check it out. It's in California, but I don't have that information in front of me. Now, NBA superstar LeBron James will step into Michael Jordan's shoes when he makes his first leap onto the big screen to star in Space Jam 2. I have to laugh because I didn't see Space Jam, but the first movie grossed over $230 million worldwide. He'll also be starring in this is LeBron James, by the way. He'll also be starring in with Kevin Hart in a comedy feature film titled Ballers. Ballers will follow a man, Kevin Hart, who really wants to be known as something other than the brother of NBA star LeBron James, and get his chance to prove himself when he and some friends attend a fantasy basketball camp in Miami. So naturally, you know, the hijinks and hilarity ensues after that. So that is what's on slate with LeBron James. And if you didn't hear the controversy with LeBron James, by the way, the mask that he had on after he broke his nose last week, he came back with a black mask, and he had 31 points, bunch of assists and rebounds, had a really good game. The league sent him a letter after that asking him to not wear the black mask because the opponents couldn't see his face. I think they were just being crazy. But it was Dwayne Wade that said to him that don't get used to it because the league will make sure you won't do this again. So it looks like it was a one-time shot. LeBron said that he didn't find it problematic. He didn't really care, but he just pretty much said, you know, hey, we'll forget the controversy. There's no controversy. And he didn't put up a fuss about it. He said, hey, it's their league. They get to do that. So LeBron didn't make a fuss at it. Who knew? All right. Now, again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. We're going to take a break. Since we didn't do a show for Black History Month, or we did a couple, but we didn't go over some facts, we're going to come back with more information before we get into the show. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back after these messages. Again, chat room is not open, but I'll get on my job while I'm on break. All right, we'll be back in a few.
When was the last time something made your jaw drop? Campbell's has 24 new soups that will make it drop over and over again. From jam and jerk chicken to creamy Gouda bisque, see what's new from Campbell's. It's amazing what soup can do.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
So I've come up with a family emergency plan.
Great. What is it?
Difficult to talk about, so I'm not telling you.
How will we know what to do?
You won't.
I'm so glad I won't have to remember anything.
And me too. Thanks for this, sweetie.
Talk to your kids about who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information.
If I got to go to college, oh my goodness. I like discovering new things. You get to see what works for you and what doesn't. That helps you evolve as a person. You get to make like a supernova of skill or talent or whatever it is. I've always wanted to go to college. I just feel like that's my destiny. My name is Queen, and I am your dividend.
With over 200 lunch combos, there's something for everyone in the neighborhood. And they start at just $6.99.
$6.99? Consider my mind blown.
Boom.
Lunch combos at Applebee's starting at just $6.99. Now with new honey pepper flavor. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. I want to say hey to everyone who's on the line. If you want to join us, just hit one of your lines. We'll bring you in. But in the meantime, you know, we have plenty on the show today. Our first main topic, I shouldn't say our first topic, our main topic on this program is, you know, it seems like Beyonce's in the news again. Garcelle Bouvier from the Jamie Foxx show. She made some statements on social media, Beyonce fans ate her up, a whole nother story. But we'll talk about that. So it's Fancy versus Beyonce. And Where's My Publishers? Toni Braxton says something that kind of was off the cuff, and we think that she needs to utilize her media people a little better. And Spike Lee on gentrification of in his old neighborhood, that has made the circuit on social media, and people were losing their minds. And he actually came out and cleared some things up for you, so I have a lot of respect for Spike. So Spike Lee is my hero. I think I'm going to play that a little bit later. And we have an Arsenio Hall clip with comedian Delray Davis, but I may bump that for the Arsenio Hall clip of Steve McQueen, the director of 12 Years a Slave, since it's the Oscar, it won the Oscar for Best Picture this year, since he's the first African-American or African, first black person, we're not going to even go there, first black person to direct a motion picture of the year from the Oscars. I think we will tag that on to Black History, and we may just replay his interview on Arsenio since he did such a good job. And I'm not sure if we played it last time, but we'll definitely get on that. Now, here's some Black History facts that I think that, you know, we need to have an archive, so I'll put this out there for you to, you know, consume a little bit. Now, the sleek new $100 bills that were released by the Federal Reserve on October 8, 2013 was the design, it was designed and the creation of a 43-year-old African-American artist, Brian Thompson. So the new $100 bills. Thompson, he is walking in his father's footsteps, who served as a cylinder maker at the U.S. Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C. His father saw a call for artists and knew his son would fit the bill. So the artist, his father, had been working there for 24 years. And, his son has been working there for 23 years, good Lord, since he was 19. And he finally called the new release, the $100 bill, his own design. So Mr. Thompson was trained and mentored and encouraged under the tutelage of banknote designer and modeler Ronald C. Sharp. He's retired from the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Mr. Sharp was the first African-American to be hired and trained as a designer at the Bureau, and he also was the creator of his own series of stamps, the Windmill series, in the early 80s. And I don't know when I read that, but I instantly knew what series they were talking about. I don't know why a windmill would stick out for me, but I do remember those stamps. Just interesting, I guess. Now, African-American tech executive John Thompson has been appointed as the new chairman of Microsoft Corporation. He replaced chairman and co-founder Bill Gates. Now, Thompson is the former CEO of Symantec Corporation. If you have Norton antivirus, that's Symantec, who makes Norton, the antivirus. And so he hopes to bring Microsoft into better competition with Apple and Google, is what he said. He is the first and only African-American leader of a major technology company, and he said that he will continue the legacy of Microsoft. So that's John Thompson. Just, again, we don't have to do Black History facts from the past just to know that there's still Black history being made right now. Now, a woman named Abby Fisher, a former slave from South Carolina, is the author and the first published African-American cookbook. She was born in 1832. Abby Fisher was freed after the Civil War. After she and her family moved to San Francisco, she entered her food in cooking competitions. So her recipes, especially pickles and jellies and preservatives, would become an instant success with friends and the upper class. She would be known around town as Miss Abby Fisher Pickle Manufacturer. I guess that was the name of the brand. It is also believed that Fisher was the first to present the recipe for fried chicken and waffles. See, that's where the Black History note comes in. It was her recipe from 1832, fried chicken and waffles. All right, Abby Fisher. And one of the gold medals belonging to Olympic medalist Jesse Owens has been auctioned for $1,468,000. Now, Owens won the medal in the 1936 games after one of three relay races. Owens was the most decorated Olympic athlete in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. He also was the first American track and field athlete to win four gold medals in an Olympiad. Now, he was born James Cleveland Owens in Alabama in 1913. Owens enrolled in school, and through an error in his teacher's attendance records, he was mistakenly written in as Jesse. It was a misprint of his J.C., of his initials. I don't know how they got Jesse from J.C. Jesse. All right, James Cleveland Owens. Now, he was also was forever recorded as Jesse Owens. Owens began setting track and field records by junior high school. By high school, he was meeting and breaking world records in the high jump, including the broad jump, when he accomplished the 24 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches. He broke that record. And by the time he got to the Berlin Olympics, Owens had set a new standard for track and field, dispelling Adolf Hitler's theory that the Aryan race was the master of all sports. I don't think that happened. It was noted later that Jesse Owens hadn't been acknowledged by President Roosevelt or invited to the White House. He was finally recognized by Dwight Eisenhower in 1955. He wins in 36. Still didn't invite the black man to the White House until 1955. There's a lot to say about Germany and the U.S., and still, I rise. That was my Maya Angelou in there someplace. Now, afros, locks, and naturals are all symbols of a powerful movement that began with the words of John S. Rock, an African-American abolitionist who was the first black person to be admitted to the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, Rock, who paraphrased the term black is beautiful during a speech in 1858, some 100 years later, African-Americans would begin a movement illustrating Rock's words, which encouraged men and women to stop straightening their hair and attempt to lighten or bleach their skin with creams. Now, Black is Beautiful, that movement became the most prominent in the writings of author Stephen Bilko in his book, The Black Consciousness Movement in South Africa. If you don't know who Stephen Bilko is, look it up. It has some great history about South Africa. So I wanted to share that. That was some black history. Wanted to keep you up to speed, but I know what we'll do on our next program. We'll make sure we get some more black history facts on. That was some old ones, some new ones. Just want to get everybody up to date. You know, that's kind of how we do on Black Crime. So you're listening. I guess I should let you know that you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. Now, before I go any farther, you know we're going to take another break, but, you know, today's show, we have on this program actress Garcelle Bouvier versus Beyonce Knowles. Where's My Publishers? This is going to be Toni Braxton, Spike Lee on gentrification in his old neighborhood, and we have an Arsenio Hall clip. I think we're going to play that right after we come back of Steve McQueen actually won the Academy Award. Well, his film, 12 Years a Slave, won the Academy Award, so we're going to give him some respect and play the Arsenio Hall clip. Matter of fact, we'll do that now during our break. So we'll be back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime at Esprit Radio, and so let's listen to Freedom as we go into our break. We'll be right back after this message.
Freedom, 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 freedom. got this book from your wife.
Yes, my wife found the book because I had this original idea of a free man who was kidnapped and tricked into slavery. But then that's all I had, and I hooked up with John Ridley. Mm-hmm. I gave him the idea. I said, look, this is an idea, and we could work on an idea, a script for this idea I had. Things were going along slowly at that time. My wife said, why don't you look into first-hand accounts into slavery? I said, of course, she being a historian. And we both looked into did some research on this, and she uncovered this book, 12 Years a Slave. I mean, this book had been lost for 150 years. And what's so incredible about this book, 12 Years a Slave, by Solomon Northup, it is, I mean, what can I say? Solomon Northup is an American hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live in Amsterdam, and when I read the book, it was almost like reading Anne Frank's diary for the first time.
Wow.
And that's how important an icon he is in American history.
What's your ultimate goal for that book? What would you like to see happen?
I want this book in every school in the United States. That would be my... I mean, that's... I mean, I know... we sold more copies of this book in 6 months of the film being released than 150 years of it being out in the public. I mean, it's on the best, it's on the top 10 seller list in the New York Times sellers list.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, that we can present Solomon and give him the due rights he deserves, because he is an American hero, and undoubtedly.
I love the realism and the gritty.
Yeah.
I mean, approach to slavery, by the way, and I love the respect that you've given what it truly was. You know, we in pop culture have started to use slavery a lot, many of us, black and white, using slavery a lot as this pop metaphor to our minor pains and discomforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we do our ancestors such an injustice by that. I like that you showed slavery for exactly what it is. And I know you get a lot of criticism for the violence and the way that you've done it. But I'll let you talk about all that.
Well, either I was making a film about slavery or I wasn't. And I decided I wanted to make a film about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, slavery, of course. How is it possible that you get these people for 400 years who are held in bondage? Through mental, physical, and psychological torture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted to make that film, you know. And also, it's about, you know, survival. It's about love. It's about why I and you are sitting here now. Because our ancestors wanted the best for us. Whatever difficulty they had, they wanted to survive and nurture and bring their children up.
Yeah.
And they did so through love, you know.
Yeah.
In the midst of violence, of course, but through love. You know, this kind of film hasn't been made before, quite frankly. And therefore, I wanted to give a real portrayal of slavery. So, you know, why hasn't it been done before? I don't know. In a way, I do know. I think, of course, there was a huge amount of embarrassment and a huge amount of shame about that particular time in history in America, and understandably so. But I think now people are willing to engage and look at that history, possibly for the first time, in a way that maybe they haven't done before. And I think it's no small... thing that Barack Obama is the president. In fact, I feel it allowed artists, not just filmmakers, to have the authority to tell their story.
Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, on this program. Oh, by the way, that was Steve McQueen, director, 12 Years a Slave, Oscar-winning picture of the year. I guess it's movie of the year. But keep getting that thing wrong. On this program, we are talking about actress Garcia Bouvier, Beyonce Knowles, this Toni Braxton, her statements. But first, I want to start off with Spike Lee on gentrification of his old neighborhood. Now, if you didn't hear the story, Spike Lee made a round of interviews this week to defend his earlier statements over gentrification in New York City, but he only needed to look at his neighbor. He said that you only had to look at his native neighborhood to see what the point was. He said, have you seen Fort Greene Park in the morning? He's like, it's like an MF Minster dog show. He did go off on this, by the way. He said this while addressing the Pratt Institute audience. Lee, his appearance on Anderson Cooper later on, insisting that his birthplace has greatly changed may not have been necessary. Now, the director, who has focused on racial issues and gentrification in his films, blasted an audience member at the Pratt Institute who started defending the changing in the neighborhoods. So this is what Spike Lee said. This is not me. But Spike Lee said, let me just kill you right now, to this unidentified questioner. Like, they didn't put his name, the person's name down. But he said, while we can't so easily travel to Fort Greene of yesteryear, we can take a look at how the neighborhood looks now. He made this abundantly clear that the comments was not an attack purely on white people moving into a black neighborhood. He said, my problem is when you move into a neighborhood, have some respect for the history, for the culture. So he said, here's the thing. I grew up in Fort Greene. I grew up in New York. It's changed, and why does it take an influx of white New Yorkers in the South Bronx, in Harlem, in Bed-Stuy, in Crown Heights for facilities to get better? So I understand his point. This is no black-on-black crime, by the way, because he didn't commit it on anybody, but I just thought it was a good discussion to talk about since it was in the news so much that Spike Lee has to go back and defend himself and say who he wasn't talking about. But Lee did say that gentrification is shown by more than just a heavier police presence on the street, but it also by the dismissal of cultural customs. And he said, then comes the Christopher Columbus syndrome, is what he said. You can't discover this. We've been here. You just can't come in Bogart. And if you need a translator, you shouldn't be listening to Black on Black Crime. But he said, you just can't Bogart. And he said, there were brothers playing African drums in Mount Morris Park for 40 years, and now they can't do that anymore because the new inhabitants said the drums are loud. So Lee told a story about how a party in Fort Greene Park was proposed in honor of Michael Jackson when the singer died, but the plans got canceled after residents complained that there would be too much garbage. So Spike Lee said, garbage? Have you seen Fort Greene Park in the morning? It's the Westminster Dog Show. So he said, there's 2,000 dogs running around here. Whoa. So we had to move it to Prospect Park. So he's saying, you clean also. A part of that whole thing with Spike Lee, Spike Lee said that they clean that area daily now. There's garbage trucks daily in the neighborhood where it wouldn't see garbage trucks. So he's just saying when there was a black neighborhood, DPW wouldn't go down there and clean up every day. But now that they regentrified the area, that they actually come back and pick up trash and all this other stuff. And by the way, Spike Lee's father still lives in the brownstone that he purchased, and he's had the police called on him quite a few times because, as a musician, they're saying that he's playing his music too loud. So that's what started the whole thing. And I happen to agree with Spike Lee. So just no black-on-black crime, just as a discussion. Hey, if you want to call in, if you want to write us, everyone on the line, if you want to hit one and chime in at any time, feel free. And but if you want to write us, send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. You know, you can always catch us in the chat, although I don't have the chat room open right now, but you can always catch us in the chat or send your comments later. But just wanted to share that story because it seemed interesting, and I know on Black Crime we've talked about issues in the past. So since there's no real big crime this week, just wanted to cover some issues and catch up on some history while we were at it. Now, in our main topic today was actress Garcelle Bouvier and superstar Beyoncé Knowles Carter. Now, here's the deal. The actress Garcelle Bouvier, who played roles like Fancy, who's the pretty hotel clerk in the King's Towers, that caught Jamie Foxx's eye on the Jamie Foxx show, and R. Kelly's love interest in the Download video, if you go back that far. She recently had an interview with Hello Beautiful. Now, speaking of entertainment, this is the question. Speaking of entertainment, you were a sex symbol for many years. How do you feel about being viewed in this way, and how does it affect your womanhood? So this was Garcelle's response to that question in that article. She said, "For me, you're obviously flattered when someone calls you sexy or thinks you're sexy. I think it's great, but for me now, there are so many ways to be sexy without being overt about it. I think you can wear great shorts, great short dress, but if you have long sleeves and you're only showing leg, that's acceptable." She said, "I think you have to stick to a body part and show that. I don't think you have to show it all. As I get older, I still want to be sexy, but I want to do it in a different way." She said, "I want to do it in a way that's more classy. Certain things are just too overt for kids." So here is where the question is. This is a black-on-black crime. She said, "I love Beyonce. I love her. I think she's beautiful and talented, but I think there has to be a fine line where you have to take responsibility for what you do. I think it's good to be sexy, but sexy can come across in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be everything showing out grinding all the time." So after a bad reaction on Twitter, and I am not going to read the internet comments, even that we have for this story, but the internet comments were not good. She apologized and wrote, "I love Beyonce. What I said was taken out of context, and of course I support women being sexy." And I think this is after everyone blew her out of the water for posing in Playboy. Now, she has a lot of nude pictures. You can't even internet search images of her without those nude pictures coming up. But she said it's overt. But she's saying, again, now that she's older. So, I guess that is a black-on-black crime. She could have said somebody like Madonna. Madonna goes way overboard. But Beyonce, she has to kind of leave her alone. So I'm going to vote black-on-black crime. I know our commissioner isn't here, and Kai's not here. But, and if that's you, Kai, on the line, just hit 1 and come in. Hey, Dace, I see Dace on the line and a bunch of other folks. But if you want to come in on this is fine. Just hit 1 on your line, and I'll bring you in. But I kind of think that this is a black-on-black crime. She wouldn't have addressed any other person the way that she addressed Beyonce. But again, Beyonce fans will shut it down. That's why we've done so many Beyonce black-on-black crime stories, because they will come in and shut it down when the time is right. So technically, they did get an apology from her, and no more bad notes to her. She just made a comment. That's all. She used the wrong person for an example. Everybody wants to take a shot at her. So, anyway, if you think it's a black-on-black crime or not, you can always send us an email. We'll update our story, by the way. BOBC@soulofsyracuse.com if you want to add in on that particular story. Now, we had a new segment called Where's My Publicist? And there was a lot of entertainers that were saying and doing things that you would think they need a publicist. You know, they are really going overboard and not handling their businesses and going back having to retract their word, kind of like what she just did with Beyonce. She needed a publicist. But she was being interviewed, so technically that's what she thought. Just didn't turn out well for her. Now, Toni Braxton is the new person that's on the hot seat for Where's My Publicist? Because Toni Braxton was on TV to discuss the latest developments of her personal and professional lives, her life, and it raised eyebrows with a few of the comments that she made. Now, she is a 6-time Grammy-winning singer. She shared her thoughts on co-parenting her 2 children, Denim, And Denzel is her kid's name. I don't know why they put him in there. They're pretty young. And her relationship with her ex-husband, Carrie Lewis. And if you don't know who Carrie Lewis is, from one of the greatest bands ever, that would be Mint Condition. But Carrie Lewis wrote some great songs, but her and her ex. But Toni Braxton said, I am in L.A., and my ex-husband is here, but we get along great. We're very Caucasian. We're very white about it, is what she told on this television program. Bethany is the television show that she was on. Now, Braxton and Lewis were married for 12 years, but they split in 2009, but their divorce wasn't final until July of last year. But the two still communicate and co-parent the two children. But she went on to explain, I think this is where Toni Braxton went a little too far, but she went on to explain what a black divorce was and referred to a scene from the film Baby Boy. And she said, I got that means I hate you, Jody, you know, from that scene, I hate you, Jody. That's what black people mean to black people. Oh, she said, that's what it means to be black people, is what she said. Now, she was wrong for that. So that is a black-on-black crime. She's on the white program doing stereotypical black things just because she, I don't know, she considers that to be white to have a cordial relationship with her ex. That is crazy. So just wanted to share that part of where is my publicist? That's what Toni Braxton needs more than publicists. Toni Braxton needs to be beat down. So we'll just, on that note, we'll bring bow down to Toni Braxton because she's going to need one on this one. We'll be back with more Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Hey, we just wanted to cover some things today to keep you up to speed. We have entertainment news. And we'll be right back after this break.
When we created the Acura RLX, we decided to take the other road. We believe luxury isn't about bling or flash. Courage invites critics. Go ahead. Future innovations are born from conversations. And sometimes the road that's less traveled is the one that surprises you. Introducing the Acura RLX.
Hey, what's the biggest number you can think of?
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984, the garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the Nets the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the King. Now, you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Before the sneeze, help protect with the spray. Before the tissue, help defend with a wipe. Before the cold and flu season, help prevent with Lysol. Because when you have 10 times more protection with each hand wash and kill 99.9% of germs around the house with each spray, those healthy habits start to add up. This season, a good offense is the best defense. And Lysol has your family covered because that's our mission for health.
Hey, it's me, Water. So you want me to be super amazing right from the faucet, but you think home filters can be a pain in the tuss? Well, check this out. Booyah! Shazam! H2O. Hydrolicious. Look what I can do. Magic bananas. Adios, contaminos. It's the first faucet filter that installs with just one click and removes 99% of lead and microbial cysts. Check it out at purewater.com.
Remember, it's a black Toyota Avalon.
No way, dude. It's an Avalon.
Is there a problem?
Just some down power lines up ahead.
Really?
Got some heat coming.
You're good to go.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon.
Unlike any Avalon you've ever seen before, only the name remains. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You can check us out every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Esprit Radio. Hey, on this program, Garcielle Bouvier versus Beyonce Knowles. We know we've had Beyonce on here before, but Fancy, you know, from Jamie Foxx show, had a little moment with Beyonce. And Twitter blew up. And also, where's my publicist? Tony Braxton made some interesting statements. And Spike Lee, you know, on re-gentrification of his old neighborhood. We wanted to cover that on Black Crime. Since 12 Years a Slave won the Oscar for Best Picture, we played the Arsenio Hall clip with Steve McQueen on, you know, on the movie. And you know, the movie has, you know, surpassed $100 million worldwide, and I'm sure it is going to go a whole lot farther now since it won an Oscar yesterday. So I just want to just kind of put that out there for 12 Years a Slave and give a shout-out to Solomon Northrup's descendants. You know, a really, really good friend of mine who's passed away, Chuck Adams. My friend Chuck Adams, who passed away, was a descendant. He's a great-great-great-grandson of Solomon Northrup. He's passed away, but his brother Jamie is here. So I want to give the family a shout-out. Glad that they're paying respects to your ancestors. And, couldn't happen to a better family. They're great folks. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that on this program. Now, in the world of news and entertainment, Tyler Perry's longtime lucrative first look deal with Lionsgate is not being renewed. Now, although there are still several projects in the pipeline at the studios beyond his upcoming release, Single Moms Club, which is due out March 14th, there could be more Madea's films from Lionsgate, and his last Lionsgate picture was Tyler Perry's Madea's Christmas, which grossed $52 million when it came out in December. But his first look deal is done, which means he could just shop that to other companies if he wanted to. That's all that means. But Tyler Perry's deal has not been renewed. Now, the two-hour season finale of the BET freshman premiere primetime drama series, Being Mary Jane, topped, you know, TV ratings for original with a 1.6 from 18 to 49 ratings, drawing 2.6 million viewers during the first hour from the 9 to 10 p.m. slot and another 3.2 million viewers for the second hour from the 10 to 11 for a total of 5.8 million viewers. It was a two-hour, you know, season finale, but 5 million viewers is what they received. So congratulations to Gabrielle Union and Being Mary Jane and BT. Now, Whoopi Goldberg has released the first two episodes of what looks like her new web series she apparently has been working on that we've known nothing about, none of us have. It's titled Rolling with Whoopi. Now, it's going to show her commute into work every day, I think, in some commuting story. So it probably will be interesting, but Whoopi Goldberg has a new web series, so I'll have to check that out and see how that looks. Now, Lifetime has announced a launch of a new programming block for Wednesday nights beginning March 5th with a premiere of an all-new dance competition docuseries titled Bring It, which will air at 10 p.m., Now, Bring It, produced by Pilgrim Studios shines a spotlight on an elite world of hip-hop majorettes. It's a majorette competition. It's founded in 2001 by Diana Williams, or Miss D, the Dancing Dolls of Jackson, Mississippi. Age 7 to 17 are said to be one of the country's preeminent dance troupes, with over 15 grand championship titles and more than 100 trophies under their belt. Each episode of the series will follow the top dolls in their dedicated mobs as they prepare for a cutthroat competition, parade, showcases, culminating into a battle against their biggest rivals. The 8 one-hour episodes of the series have been ordered for this season. So you're going to check that out on Lifetime. It starts March 5th, this Wednesday, on Lifetime, if you want to check that out. Now, LeBron James, we already talked about him earlier in the show, but LeBron James is setting out to conquer another world. Now, the NBA star is headed to television as the star's cable channel has given him the green light to a half-hour scripted dramedy series that James is producing titled Survivor's Remorse, which the press release says will explore complexities, the comedy, the drama of the experience that everyone reads about but few understand. It said what truly happens when you make it out. Now, LeBron said, I have a deep passion for the amazing television being created right now. I love Boardwalk Empire, Magic City, Scandal, 24. When my business partners Time Warner and Maverick Carter brought up the idea of creating a television series that would capture the story of what happens when you make it out, I jumped at the chance. For Maverick and I, even being where we are right now, given where we came from, it's kind of hard to believe. I feel like it's a story that needs to be told, and nobody can craft a story like Time Warner. Now, he has been an incredible He has an incredible vision for television, and I am really excited to partner with him and the rest of our team. Now, LeBron will serve as executive producer on the series along with Time Warner, and he's the founder of Kersey Warner Television, which produced some of the most significant television shows for the past generation, you know, The Cosby Show, Roseanne, and much more. So that it's going to be on soon, I think, on Starz. So get a chance to check that out. That is LeBron's show. I guess it's called Survivor's Remorse. Had to look that up again. Wasn't really sure what it was called, but it's Survivor's Remorse, LeBron James story. Now, he and his friend Maverick are old friends, so it is really from his production company that's creating this. Now, VH1 has announced that it has given a green light to Drumline, A New Beat. It's the sequel to the 2002 film, which has Nick Cannon has revealed will have a new cast of characters set in fictional New Orleans University. The sequel will tell the tale of a Brooklynite named Danny Bolton, who came from an upper-class background and decided to attend a fictional New Orleans university as the backdrop, and where she hopes to join and shake up their once predominant drum line. And so we'll have to see how that's going to come. Now, the first drum line fish out of water comedy, you know, the guy came from Harlem, went to Southern University. He enrolled in a Southern university. That grossed $60 million on a $20 million budget. So the director, Charles Stone III, and it was penned by Tina Gordon Chisholm, who made her directorial debut in We the Peoples last year. It starred Nick Cannon and Zoe Saldana. So you didn't get a chance to see that. Of course, that's an old show. And TBS is teaming up with Marlon Wayans on a new competition series titled Funny Wins is the working title, which Wayans, along with some of his comedian friends and family, will set out to find the funniest multi-talented comedians out there today. So TBS has ordered 8 one-hour episodes of Funniest Wins, with plans of launching the series this summer. Hey, we'll tell you about that and much more. I just want to make sure I tell you, check out Black on Black Crime. We'll be back again next week with more Black on Black Crime. Remember, if you want to check us out, email us, bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. We'll be back. See you next week.